about small cities all over the country suing over data centers that were put up and causing all kinds of noise pollution. Infrasound is a big one. Sound at the low end of the spectrum, maybe too low to hear, but that you feel like a vibration when you happen to live near one of these things. There are entire families that are, you know, suffering from sleep deprivation and things like that, not to mention the drain on the local infrastructure, air pollution, things like that. And this is something that, there were more protections in place at a certain point. The Reagan-era EPA was kind of gutted in what it could do about any of this. And, of course, the modern EPA is kind of a bad joke. And we're suffering actual consequences from this sort of thing going unchecked. And now's when checks are starting to appear as a possibility. And that raises a little hope, I think.
You know, something that I think really would be helpful is we find the home addresses of people like Sam Altman, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and we file the paperwork to build data centers next to them, you know? Yeah, at least go through the paperwork and, make them show up at hearings, because if they're putting people like us through this kind of hell of having a data center making all kinds of crazy noises, costing a lot of money, destroying the environment, why should they be exempt from that? Obviously, they're billionaires. In fact, Elon Musk was a trillionaire for a little while. It's not right. That alone is not right. And they just seem to get away with anything they want to do. And it's time people react to that. And yeah, this is obviously related to why they don't want to talk or see the public. You know, same thing with elected officials who don't have town hearings or a Q&A with the people they represent. It's basically not being accountable for your actions or your policies. Alex.
This reminds me very much of the saying, I don't remember from who, but it was that foreign policy is always dictated by domestic politics. And I think here we have an interesting loggerhead situation here, where you have, on the one hand, on the federal level, everybody clamoring, we have to beat China. We got to beat China. China's in a mad race with American companies to develop AI. They've stolen our technology through DeepSeek, and we have to beat them. And in order to beat them, we have to have more data centers. We need more power. We have to install data centers in every local community around this country so that these companies can get the cooling that they need, the energy that they need. Yet, on the other hand, the domestic political situation is everybody's yelling, well, hang on here. Don't put a goddamn giant AI heat box on my electricity substation and don't start sucking up my water supply for these types of things. And now you have these two principles, the local and the federal, and actually maybe a third principle, the international, this competitive international principle, all crashing into each other at once in public, causing, I think, massive political strife between the federal and state politicians. And I think that tension is really kind of interesting to watch play out. It's a fascinating clash of interests, of cultures, and of money and power. And we're seeing it play out in our lifetimes right here. And I think it's extremely important. You know, everybody knows I live in Manhattan, but I've got a little place out in Pennsylvania, and there was a proposal to put a data center near one of the rivers over there, and the community was really up in arms about it. It's still up for proposal and debate, but nobody sees any real benefit coming from these data centers. If they reduced the electrical bills, or the electric bills that everybody received, if you were charging these companies more so that other people could pay less, maybe there'd be some kind of benefit to that. And I think there are some plans to do that in the works in various places. But for the most part, the burdens certainly do seem to outweigh the benefits.
Well, it's interesting because before AI started to become known in the mainstream, weren't we already facing all kinds of environmental crises? So who on what particular drug would think that this is a good idea that would be accepted by the populace, by people throughout the world, governments. It just seems like a really bad idea. That's an obvious bad idea. And maybe the bells and whistles can get us to play with the toys a little bit. But it's so obviously something that is bad for us. And I just can't imagine people falling for it. I really can't.
I'd like to imagine people are smarter than that, but just moments ago, someone posted to Lemmy, which is a part of the Fediverse, that they were sitting behind someone on a plane who was using ChatGPT to write something on their laptop. And upon closer inspection, what they were writing was the materials and remarks for a sustainability and climate conference. So,
upon closer inspection, was this person leaning over their shoulder?
You know when you're sitting on a plane and you can pretty much see what's going on the screens around you. What's saddest about this story is the fact that I totally believe this happened.
Actually, no, it does happen. In fact, last time I was on a plane, I was looking over the shoulder of the person in front of me because they had an action movie that was taking place. There were these two guys firing guns at each other, one on the left side of the screen, one on the right side of the screen. But in the middle was actually they were firing guns at whatever was in the middle. It was this weird kind of semi-transparent creature with this expression of amused detachment on their face. It was the scariest thing because it was some kind of science fiction thing, and these two guys were firing guns at this alleged alien in the middle. And after watching this for a couple of minutes, I realized, oh my God, that's not an alien. That's the face of the person watching the TV screen in front of me. He's watching the film with detached amusement. But that image it haunted me. It really did, because he was not at all scared of the two people firing guns, and of course they were firing guns at each other, not at him. But yeah, if you're gonna look at people's screens, look at the films they're watching. I wouldn't look at what they're writing. Yes, Alex.
That brings up a very interesting point, actually, and I hadn't thought of it until you amused us with that interesting anecdote there, Emmanuel. Because one of the things that jumped out in the recent Iran United States conflict, I don't know if are we calling it a war yet? I guess it's a war, right? We were at war with Iran, so this war that happened, right? This was really the first time where it became a legitimate target of a military strike to hit a data center, because data centers, all these data centers are powering kind of military industrial complex technology that's used for targeting, that's used for information, that's used for intelligence. And so data centers in the Middle East, especially over in Dubai, and I think in Abu Dhabi as well, these data centers were targets of military strikes. If we allow these data centers to continue to be built within our local communities, are they too going to become legitimate targets of military strikes? I mean, this is something I think we have to think about at this point. Do we want to have a gigantic bomb target sitting in our backyard or on a river?
Yeah, good question. Something that I don't think people have really thought through.
Yeah, and pertaining to the question of whether we're calling it a war, I like to defer to the wisdom of the crowd on things like this. And on Wikipedia, you can see the article title for this is the 2026 Iran War. Of course, the result is listed on the page as Iranian victory. In case you're wondering whether or not to call it a war, I think it's been decided.
I know, wars usually have fighting on both sides. That's my understanding of what a war is, not just dropping bombs on one side. But, they said some nasty things, so maybe that's the other side of the war. I don't know. Anyway, continuing with artificial intelligence, it's always fun to watch the billionaires fight amongst themselves. There's this movie that's supposedly coming out called Artificial, all about the controversial tech executive, Sam Altman. It's supposed to be distributed by Amazon, but apparently some feathers were ruffled when a partnership was struck between Amazon and OpenAI. Actually, I'm very confused. Rob, you posted this story. So a partnership was formed between Amazon and OpenAI. Altman is CEO of OpenAI. And that made Amazon, whose owner is Jeff Bezos, basically say that they're not going to distribute it anymore. Do I have that right?
Well, I mean, the actual course of events is a little fuzzy. Amazon basically, when this deal happened between Amazon and OpenAI, Amazon immediately invested $15 billion in OpenAI, and followed by another $35 billion in the coming months when certain conditions are met, including, according to OpenAI's website. And this follows a cloud computing deal worth $38 billion signed by the two companies last year. And so I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that now that Amazon and OpenAI are such good pals, that maybe Amazon decided at that point to rethink whether they wanted to release an unflattering movie about Altman.
Oh, it's an unflattering movie. I didn't see that part of it. It's a biopic about the controversial tech executive. I did not see that it was going to be something he wouldn't be pleased with.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a cast of A-listers, and had some buzz going around about it, and I think this is only helping the buzz. Although it won't be released on Amazon now, I'm sure it'll find other distribution, and it now has a little badge to stick to it of like, here's something that they didn't want you to see, which makes it more interesting.
This is so similar to what's going on in the world of mass media. Where companies are taking over other companies and basically canceling programs that are objectionable to the ruling class. And it's sickening. It's sickening to see how it's all taken over, how what we see, what we read, what we are able to view is all controlled by a handful of people.
I will mention at this point that, our listeners know, but it's worth mentioning again that WBAI is not in any sweetheart deals with massive corporations of any sort or way, shape, or form. And the only thing that keeps WBAI on these airwaves is you, the listeners, and other listeners like you. And if you'd like to go to buddy.wbai.org and throw in what you can to keep us going at a time when it's all the more critical and, it's very plain and obvious that media outlets are under attack. You can help keep this going in an independent manner, in a manner which is not subject to the whims of zillionaires.
And as a member of WBAI, you can participate in elections and help ensure that we stay on the right path. So I think one is coming up, actually, over the summer. So pay attention. It's important. It really is. And no other outlet, I believe, gives you that kind of say, that kind of voice. Okay, and Rob, you also posted this story about Elon Musk's Grok AI firing 2,000 missiles at Iran. Is that true? Grok is firing missiles?
It appears to be, according to a sworn statement, that was given in a lawsuit alleging that XAI's data centers are illegally polluting black communities. Part of the evidence given in this was a sworn statement saying that the administration used Grok to launch thousands of missiles. This is a top defense official, apparently, and the filing does appear to be the first admission from an administration that explicitly says that the government is using not only AI, but Elon Musk's AI to bomb other countries. It's a tool of the military now.
Wow.
Doesn't this just go right to my point that I was making? This story basically supports the very point that data centers, therefore, are war zone infrastructure that are becoming legitimate targets of military strikes in the event of an international conflict. And I do think that people need to have that on their radar as part of the threat model of these data centers. It's not just environmental impact. It's not just that low-level hum. It's the fact that these data centers could be bombed in the event that there is a conflict between the United States and somebody else who has missiles and bombs capable of reaching U.S. soil.
Yeah, but isn't this a case of a data center sending the missiles?
If a data center is sending them, then a data center can be targeted for sending them.
That's legitimate.
Yeah, we're not quite at the War Games Whopper level of letting the computer pick, you know, send the actual missiles, but the AI products are apparently being used to identify potential points of interest. So it's picking targets, and people are still pushing the buttons at this point. We'll see what happens.
Oh, boy. Okay, looking at this story from 404 Media, our good friends over at Madison Square Garden have compiled a list of activists who have publicly criticized the venue's use of facial recognition technology. Oh, my God. So if you just criticize them now, you get put in the database? This is unbelievable. Yeah, their tweets and comments have been put into a document that is accessible to people inside the company. The news shows that MSG, operated by James Dolan, who we've discussed over the past few weeks, has garnered a reputation for being very vindictive against his enemies, or his perceived enemies, that is not only deploying controversial facial recognition technology, but keeping a list of people that he doesn't like, and people who take issue with what he's doing. I wonder if we're on there. You know, we've been criticizing this for quite a while. The document was included in a 45-gig cache of data that hackers stole from MSG and posted online this month. Hey, so we can check if we can get that that file. I want to see if we're in there. We should be. Well, 404 Media apparently downloaded it and reviewed it, so we can ask them. The wake of a data breach would be a good time for Madison Square Garden to stop subjecting its patrons to biometric surveillance. That's according to Adam Schwartz, who's digging himself in even deeper. He's a privacy litigation director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and he's already in the document, so I guess he can't be at it again. The document titled Facial Recognition Activist.docx. I'm sorry. At least try to hide it a little bit. Call it like XYZ or something. Facial Recognition Activist.docx. Okay, it's included in a folder named, anyone want to guess? No? Activists, yeah. List three people who have criticized MSG's use of facial recognition. Evan Greer, director of digital rights group Fight for the Future. Albert Fox Kahn, founder and executive director of the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, which spells stop, by the way, and EFF's Schwartz. All three of the activists have been quoted in major media articles discussing MSG's facial recognition technology, including in NPR and the New York Times. Well, I mean, WBAI is a major radio station in New York City, broadcasting mere blocks away from Madison Square Garden. I can't imagine why we all aren't listed as well. We should be. And it's yet another failing of MSG and James Dolan, who apparently don't know how to turn on a radio while they're cataloging people to ban from their decrepit, decrepit outlets that, well, they just had a championship basketball team. Hopefully they'll be drawn to another place to play instead of MSG. Yeah, feel free to jump in, guys, and criticize them so we can get
listed. Okay, but also, don't forget that the MSG ownership doesn't just own MSG. So I am assuming that the people on this list also can't go to the Beacon Theater, also can't go to the Sphere, also can't go to the, what do they own in Chicago? Chicago Theater? Whatever it is.
Radio City Music Hall.
Radio City Music Hall.
Yes, and the document that in question described in this article is from 2022, so I'm wondering and assuming that there might be a more updated version somewhere on their servers.
Well, we didn't criticize them until after that, so maybe that's why we're not in it. So maybe there's
we gotta work to get into the next iteration of this.
I remember personally criticizing them either that day or, like, the day after. Literally, the document is dated December 23rd, 2022, and I remember being on air and complaining about James Dolan by name and asking if people who were getting facially recognized were not going to be able to go see Knicks games on the road, if that was going to be a condition of not touring, but road games. And Yeah, we should be on that list, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe the next people who hack MSG can look for a file called Facial Recognition Activist 2.docx and download that and let us know if we're on that. Yes, Alex, go ahead.
This just seems to be a tactic for MSG, right? Where now they're just they're settling scores with biometrics. Right? That's what this private company is doing, right? And they can get away with it because they're a private company. But you know, this would be different.
Can they get away with it? Can they get away with invading people's privacy and banning them from just because they don't like what they say?
Certainly, there's nothing that prevents them from doing that. If they are discriminating on the basis of some kind of immutable characteristic like race, national origin, skin color, etc., then you have civil rights laws that can come into play. But if they just don't want to let you in, Emmanuel, because you were criticizing them on the radio, they have the right not to let you into their venue.
What if I'm of a particular political party?
Doesn't matter. They can certainly deny you entry on the basis of you being, you know, a pinko lefty.
So they can ban all Democrats if they choose to.
Sure, they could do that if they really wanted to. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they wouldn't be able to do something like that. I certainly think, I mean, at their private company, they can open their doors and close their doors to whomever they would like. But the point I'm making, though, is that we're talking about Madison Square Garden, right? It is a private company. They can get away with these score settling mechanisms using biometrics and going after lawyers who had been part of their law firms that ever sued them and banning everybody from every firm that's ever been associated with any kind of adverse position in Madison Square Garden like they've been doing for years. But, you know, we forget here, though, right? Madison Square Garden, it's a private company, but it sits on top of public transit and public streets and public subsidies to develop this type of infrastructure. So I would argue that there is some kind of hybrid notion of what Madison Square Garden is. It was so central to New York, so central to the Knicks that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, maybe there is something to the fact that they shouldn't be allowed to do this because it is part of the public infrastructure of the city as well.
Well, I mean, to me, this kind of action just flies in the face of a free society where you can, because somebody has a particular opinion, they're not allowed to go to public events, you know, even if they pay, primary rates for tickets and things like that. That just seems like an abuse of a privilege that you have. And I just can't believe we're accepting this as normal.
Well, it's not a matter of accepting it as normal. It certainly is abnormal for a company to act that way and to behave in this manner, right? That's the good thing about this is it is a corporate aberration of bad behavior. If all corporations are doing this, then I think it might become normalized. But I think we're talking about it because it is a really crazy situation. But it can happen precisely because the Bill of Rights just does not apply. Right? You know, that only affects the federal government. Right? And think about it, originally,
a key part of you was cut off. The Bill of Rights does not apply. I know you didn't want to end the sentence like that.
Yes, I did. The Bill of Rights does not apply to private companies. It only applies to the government itself, right? And in fact, for a long time, the Bill of Rights didn't even apply to state governments. It was only through the doctrine of incorporation, through the passage of the 14th Amendment, that the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution began to apply to the states. Because it originally, as conceived, the Bill of Rights only applied to the federal government. That was the one that was the biggest threat. That's what that was the threat model for the founders, was the federal government. It was King George, right? They weren't thinking about the states. Then through the doctrine of incorporation, it applied to the states. But it never has applied to private individuals or private companies, private corporations. That's why they can get away with this.
Wow. Okay, well, it continues to be disturbing. Yeah, that's what's going on in the city.
Well, but let me say this, too. I mean, I think if a company did do something like that, if they tried to ban all Democrats from coming into, let's say, for instance, if MSG tried to ban all Democrats from attending the rodeo that happens there every year or something, right? There's probably very few Democrats that go to the rodeo anyway.
I wouldn't make that assumption at all.
I know. I've gone, actually. It's actually pretty interesting. But, you know, let's say there was a no Democrats allowed sign here, though. I mean, it would be a litigation magnet. MSG would be walking into a buzzsaw. People would be making civil rights issues, you know, viewpoint complaints. I think it would be litigation of historic proportions. Regulators would be looking into this, the Attorney General, too. So I think there are ways, and there's certainly state constitutional issues that could be implicated, and state-based laws. So we're not just talking about the Bill of Rights as regulating this type of behavior, but there's lots of state laws and state constitution provisions that can apply as well.
Okay, while that airplane lands, let me just ask you this. Is not the gathering of all of this private information on us something that's open to some kind of regulation, even if you're a private company? I mean, they're gathering all kinds of data on people and sharing it and using it to find them. It just feels like that's a violation.
Well, you would think, right? But in this country in particular, we do not have any overarching federal privacy legislation that regulates the use of this type of information, this personal information. If they were collecting personal health data, maybe HIPAA would be implicated. You know, maybe there's some implications for state-based privacy laws about this. But generally, those privacy laws only relate to what happens to companies and their obligations when there is some kind of data breach with respect to the private information that they've been holding. And in many of those instances, nothing happens to these companies once they report to the attorneys general and provide data breach notification letters to all those affected parties. You know, maybe there's some kind of credit monitoring or something like that that happens. You know, if you're collecting the information from somebody, you may have to get their consent to process that information. But we don't have something like GDPR that is an overarching law that governs the collection and use of information about people in this particular matter.
So are you saying in those places that do have this kind of legislation in effect, this couldn't happen?
Yeah, that's quite true. Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, and there are a lot of states actually now that have laws about the collection of biometric data and using biometric data in certain respects. And there's been a lot of lawsuits in places like Illinois over the last couple of years where those laws have been passed. So that would possibly regulate some of this. I don't know what the current state of biometric laws in New York are at the moment off the top of my head, something I'd have to take a look into. But that's certainly another way that these companies could be curtailed from acting in this matter.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation and one that I think we all need to be having. I would like to know, are there other companies out there acting like MSG and tracking people and banning people based on their opinions and their jobs, the companies they're associated with? Maybe even if you're friends with somebody, you get banned and you can't see the Knicks because they don't like your positions on certain things. But what other companies are doing this? Can't just be MSG. There must be, if this kind of thing is allowed, there must be all kinds of companies throughout the United States that are abusing our privacy like this. We deserve to know, and we deserve to have some kind of legislation that protects us from this kind of activity. We have 1 minute left. I'm going to leave it open to you guys.
I just wonder about, in the case of Madison Square Garden, like, they have such sweetheart deals with the city and the state, like huge tax breaks, all kinds of public money effectively funding what they do. Is there any legal argument for granting them some accountability to the public rather than just being able to do what they like with them?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was driving at before, too, right? I mean, they're sitting on top of all these subsidies that they're likely getting from the government. Maybe they should be treated a little bit more like a hybrid type of entity since they very much are infrastructure. But I think what's really tricky about this, though, and I think this discussion really hits it on the head, is that, you know, we're not talking about the collection of private information through a website or something like that. We're talking about a company creating dossiers on critics and using information for that particular effect. It's some kind of defensive mechanism, and then they settle the scores with the use of biometrics against these particular people as well. But that's really a gray zone. There's no laws about collecting information about your critics that would regulate that type of activity. Not yet.
All right. Well, I think the number one thing people can do now is ban Charles Dolan from any space that you control. James Dolan. I keep saying Charles. I don't know who Charles is. James Dolan. Ban him, yes. Okay, well, we are out of time. You can write to us, oth@2600.com. We're off the hook. We're on every Wednesday from 7 to 8 here on WBAI. And we are continuing the conversation over on YouTube at 8 o'clock. Go to channel 2600 and join us there. Just go to the link on 2600.com. Next week, we'll be doing a call-in show here on WBAI. And we will see you at 8. We will see you next week. Please keep listening to WBAI and stay alert and awake. Good night. Christopher Columbus discovered America, found he had a cornucopia, gave love to the Indians and they gave it back, a powwow in a teepee is where it's at. I wanna dance with you, I wanna dance with you, I wanna
landgenoten. Nee, geachte lotgenoten. Zo begon Marianne Minnesma de alternatieve troonrede. Ze overleed kort geleden toen het nieuws bekend werd, ontplofte alle chatgroepen die met duurzaamheid, milieu en alternatieven bezig zijn. Wat een verlies, wat een prachtig mens. En wat een mooi voorbeeld voor ons allemaal. Ook voor ons, klimaatactivisten, vredesactivisten, is zij persoonlijk echt een inspirerend mens geweest. Op menig to-do-lijst stond stevast spreekster Marianne Minnesma van Urgenda uitnodigen. Dat zal er nu, helaas, nooit meer van komen. Onmogelijk is het om haar 2, nee 3 levens in 1 minuut te omvatten. Dat doet echt geen recht aan wie ze was en wat ze betekend heeft. Lotgenoten. Ja, zonnepanelen, winddelen, waterstof, duurzamer rijden, geen wapens, ander voedsel, schoner vervoer, gezonde bodem, geen kunstmest en chemie. Duurzame veehouderij met veel weidegang, meer bomen, meer bomen, meer bomen en veel meer natuur. De lijst is eindeloos. Rechtvaardigheid is voor iedereen, dus ook vrede. Ik citeer. We evolueren in deze duurzame revolutie naar een nieuwe vorm van samenleven, die het ook mogelijk maakt om met zoveel mogelijk mensen te leven op de enige aardbol die we hebben. 1. Aardbol. We kunnen niet wachten op de overheid, het bedrijfsleven of de ander. Iedereen heeft de verantwoordelijkheid om het ravijn te vermijden. Laten we aan de slag gaan. En dat deed me denken aan wat ik las bij nog een inspirerende vrouw die een week later overleed. De uiterst kritische dichter Lieke Marsman. Uit haar laatste bundel De Dichter en de Duivel. Alsof het een sigaret was, hebben we jullie toekomst in één hijs opgerookt. En ze zeggen dat een vlinder die hier fladdert elders een orkaan veroorzaakt. Ik zeg, een miljardair slaat zijn ochtendkrant dicht en er sterven mensen van de honger in Congo. Ze zeggen dat de meeste mensen deugen, maar de meeste mensen zijn niet aan de macht. Aldus Lieke Marsman. Of, zoals Marjan Minnesma zegt in haar troonrede, echte verandering start altijd met kleine groepjes. Het is aan ons om die te doen aanzwellen tot enorme groepen die echte verandering teweeg kunnen en zullen brengen.
flame. You wanna get up, you gotta keep your business clean. You wanna get up, you gotta keep your business clean.
Party made me nuts!
Be the next moment, sweet moment, sweet expectatio, expectata. Spadek, 1-2. Why I climb Mount Everest naked? The explanation. By Hebex, expectatio, expectata. AKA, Club Nada. Dildo, data, excommunicada. The third twin, who jumped out on the autostrada. Observed by Griselda Blanco and her father. Last seen in a mint green Ford Granada. From the sky. Hebex, expectatio, expectata. Hebex, expectatio, expectata. Live from the death zone. Surveyors of subpar camp songs, about 40 crampons and frozen condoms. It's a hunter-gatherer rom-com. 1-2. Main guy drowning in Hohang and Retsina. Basin on the outskirts of Medina.